presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Brooke Taylor Show. Thank you for being a part of the program. My name is Brooke Taylor. A big show for you today. If you know someone who not only is away from the church, really uncertain how they feel about God and religion, you might want to send them the story of Kendra Von Esch. She is our special guest today, and you are going to be blown away by her testimony. And as you'll hear, it's still unfolding. So I cannot wait to bring you. We recorded this episode a while ago, and I've just been waiting and waiting to bring you this particular show. So it's finally here. That is coming up. Also, some listener feedback and a reflection. In our house, we're getting ready for Advent, the end of the liturgical year and the beginning of a new church year, and obviously preparing for Christmas. And I just feel so almost like concussed. Like this year has been so intense. But I just wanted to thank you for supporting the program, because in the midst of all of this, the aim of this show remains, as it has always been, to bring you into a place of retreat and to be then fully alive. And I'm reading a book right now that is phenomenal. One of the chapters is called The Scattered Life versus The Attentive Life. And I pulled an excerpt of it because I keep going back. I've read the same chapter probably 3 times in the last week. It's really been a great anchor. Written by St. Ignatius Brianchaninov, he says this: "The scattered life, so dangerous in essence, is especially harmful in the doing of God's work, which requires constant vigilance and attention. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, says the Lord to his disciples. He who leads a scattered life directly contradicts the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ with his very life. All the saints assiduously avoided distraction. The habit of vigilance over the self protects one from an absent way of life, especially in the midst of loud worldly pleasures, chaos that surround one from every side. The attentive man remains alone with himself, even in the midst of a crowd." And the chapter goes on, and he obviously says it with much more profundity than I ever could. But that's the mission of this program always, to bring us back to the attentive life. And it's a constant challenge. My friend Vanessa in California and I were just talking about this, and the state of the world as it is, the scattered life is really easy to fall into. And that's why things like fasting are so important. She and I were talking about just the fatigue of the news cycle, social media. We've been through an exhausting election, and that's just one element. There's so much more going on. I can tell the days when I have consumed too much media, because it's not unlike the days when I consume too much food. I don't feel good. I feel sluggish. I'm in a bad mood. I feel guilty, maybe a little bit depressed. And it's not to say that the information isn't good, but it's the level of consumption. And I have been guilty of digital gluttony. I was convicted of this in talking to her and just discerning and kind of looking, examining my life. And so then reading about the attentive life really gave me pause to consider how vigilant I am with this. So one way, this is what I'm doing, but also a suggestion if anyone else is struggling with this too, that I'm preparing for Advent is to add in digital fasting, or fasting from whatever you need that is going to bring your gaze back to the Father. And again, this is a constant struggle, and at least for me, which is why this has been such a tremendous theme in the mission of the show, and also why I appreciate hearing from you so much. What works for you? What are you struggling with right now? And it's also what I love about our guests, particularly today, the story that you'll hear about Kendra Von Esch, and because it reminds me that God is always working. And by the way, speaking of hearing from you, it's been a while. Let's check out the mailbag.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through.
I received an email from Louise. She says, "Brooke, it was so awesome to hear about Carolina and Mass. I have been going to Mass at several churches trying to find what feeds me at this point in time. Jesus in the Eucharist is what my heart desires. My home parish, however, is being very restrictive. No music, no singing. Several parts of the Mass are not included, like the Alleluia. So the parish my grands go to at school has had a morning mass with less restrictions, and that has been my go-to in the mornings lately. I have been trying to go to mass every day. Good for you. That is awesome. There's also, she says, a Life Teen mass near me. I'm trying to get my grands to this mass. I feel like a nomad, so it was good to hear that you were doing a bit of the same thing. Thank you for always being open and sharing your life and your faith journey. Yeah, so that was a reference to the last episode where I shared a recent family update. We've been going to Latin mass and how well Carolina has been doing. It's really remarkable. And the streak continues. I'm just so blown away and really, truly an answer to prayer. And also once a month, I attend the Byzantine liturgy. You can hear more about that on the last episode too. Hopefully you'll have a chance to check out the whole library there. But thank you again, Louise. And for your feedback, please reach out. You can leave any input always at thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com. That's the Brook and Brook with an E, thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com. Today's guest is Kendra Von Esch, a former corporate executive chief information officer with quite an impressive resume. We'll talk a little bit about that, and also a world-class woman, and with the emphasis on world, as in worldly, we're talking about successful, but also could swear like a sailor, hardly step foot in a church. And so what a story she is, Kendra, until everything changed the Easter of 2013. And so we're going to talk about that, unpack her story, inspire you today. Kendra is going to tell us about the moment that changed everything and what she's doing now. And here she is. Welcome to the show, Kendra.
Oh, Brooke, it's so awesome to be here. I feel like I know you, your sweet demeanor. So it's awesome to be actually exchanging with you outside of through email. So well, thank boy, you have, so much for having me.
Have I fooled you? My kids will tell you.
I don't think so.
I wanted to jump right in because one of my favorite places to connect with you is on Facebook. And you also have an app. You have a daily video podcast that you do. But on YouTube, on your Kendra Von Esch channel, you have a featured video. On that main page, that video says, "My Addiction, Illegal, and Immoral Life." And that is our introduction to you for those that visit your page. I mean, that is quite a headline. I love that you're not sugarcoating it. You were a wild woman. And I just want to start right at that point because that headline pulls us in. Tell us about that part of your chapter.
The funny thing and the sad thing was that the world raised me and I believed every single lie it told me about how to live, what was success, what was happiness, that life is hard. Life is filled with stress. And just keep working and working and working and making as much money as you can, climb that corporate ladder. As you mentioned, I was an executive in corporate America, stressed out, and I just could barely sleep. I was constantly comparing myself to other people, even as a kid. So even at 10 years old, I was on my first diet. I was always never good enough. That broken record of I'm never good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm never enough. And I always wanted what other people had. So never satisfied. And when you live that way, you constantly say, well, I'll be happy when I have this or when I lose weight or when I do this. It's just such a colossal disappointment. And for me, I never even knew that I wasn't happy. I was just assuming that since life was stressful, that I ought to party hard, right? Every moment I could find, I was drinking and smoking pot and whatever other drug I could, you know, borrow or use from someone at a party, I'd be like, oh, what's that? Sure, I'll try it. Thank goodness, and I have to give all praise to God that he didn't get me into cocaine because I probably would have snorted my life away. I've got that sort of addictive personality. I had an eating disorder. I had all of these things that were going on in my life. It was insane, but it was always about pleasure and seeking that next state of being that wasn't sobriety, really.
It's the story of so many. This is the culture that is forming so many women. It's also a culture that destigmatizes things like getting drunk and passing out and taking recreational drugs. And so you weren't someone that was just on the fringes of society. You are right in the middle. In a lot of instances, that's the culture.
And I was the leader. So when I read the Bible now and the living word speaks to me, I think, how many people did I lead down this path of destruction? I was driving the bus to hell and I was picking everybody up and taking them there unknowingly, right? I was the one that was closing the bars at night. I was the one that in my, you know, early ages was very promiscuous. Yes, I committed adultery on my first husband. It was all about me. My mantra was, if it feels good, do it, and anything to make me happy. My holy trinity was me, myself, and I. Yeah. And I lived like that for 42 years. Praise God for giving me the courage to get out there, because I really didn't have the courage or the detachment from the world to talk about my addiction. In the beginning, when I first came out as an evangelist and a speaker for the faith, I was like, there's no way. I cannot stand up there and tell people that I smoked pot morning, noon, and night. They're going to judge me. I couldn't do it. So it wasn't until this past December, Our Lady of Guadalupe, her feast day, December 12th, was when God finally, you know, told me, get on out there, because he had given me that beautiful gift of detachment and courage over the tail end of that summer last year.
Wow.
Praise God. What a gift. What a gift. Because now I just live for an audience of one, and that's awesome.
And the healing, because if you bring it out into the light of day, then you can heal, recognize it, call it out, and it also allows other people to do the same. And that is a grace.
Oh, tell me about it. I remember I had to call my husband because I was in prayer in 2019, Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day. And God says, today's the day. And I'm like, today's the day. What are you talking about? And I just kind of like put it on the shelf, and I'm in my mental prayer, and he says it again, not audibly, but puts the thought in my head, today's the day. And I'm thinking, oh, today, this, what? No, why do you want me to go out there today? And he put in my heart, because today was the day that you were healed, that my mother brought me to you and I had pity for you and healed you from this infirmity, from this addiction that has ruled your life for 20 plus years.
Wow.
Give my mommy some credit was basically what it was. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't even think about it. I sent a quick text to my husband. I go, look, God's telling me I've got to get out there and talk about my addiction. And he responds back. He's like, are you sure you want to do that? And I said, I'm sure I don't want to do that, but he wants me to do that. And it's no longer about me. If I can touch one soul with my story and glorify him in the process, that's what it's all about. So I whipped out my phone and I put my video out there. I didn't even think about it. I just said it. And then when it was out there, oh, Brooke, I have to say, I did have the vulnerability hangover the next day. Because
What did I do? Should I delete that? Who saw that? Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm like, all these people that worked with me are probably like, was she high when she worked with me? And, you know, some people knew and my family knew, but not everybody. So I'm sure it came as a big shock. But I have to say the feedback was phenomenal. Sorry, I have a little allergy, so I'm wiping my nose. People on the podcast can't hear that, but people who see this can.
No COVID, just allergies.
Right, just allergies.
When you shared that just now, it reminds me of how all of these scriptures just come flooding in, and the Fool for Christ scripture, especially, because that's where I feel we're fully alive. We know it's not us. We know, Lord, and often, as you mentioned, this isn't even something that I want to do, but you feel the Spirit compelling you. And the more we get closer, the more we're able to understand those interior movements of the Spirit. That, of course, is where we feel like a little pencil in the hand of God, as Mother Teresa would always say. And it sounds like the fruit of that already is continuing to come forth with the feedback you're hearing.
And I think that that's one of the things God called me to do, was to be me. So my whole life, everyone would always say to me, TMI, too much information, Kendra. You know, you're just sharing way too much. And I always felt I shouldn't say always, but a lot of my journey was by myself. My family wasn't walking with me. My husband's still not there. I know Mary and Jesus have a plan for him, but I was learning the faith and I was doing all of my research and connecting with people like you on videos. And I felt that that was what I wanted to do. Well, what God called me to do was to be relatable, to be real, raw, honest, and share all of it. Day by day, more and more is coming out. So for example, watching pornography, you don't hear as many women sharing that, but that was something that I did. I didn't think it was wrong. I'm in my own house. Why would it be a bad thing? So again, as God taught me the teachings and really put it in my heart that they were true, I had to change so much. And in the beginning, I just want people to know that I tried to do it myself, and we can't change. The true transformation comes from God. If we humble ourselves and go to Him for His grace to change, then miraculous things can happen in your life.
Well, because you're going from a place where you're not in any way thinking that this is a sin. It's not on your radar. There's no check in your spirit. You're just kind of going about, like you said, the trinity of me, myself, and I. So obviously there was a cataclysmic shift here. And I know that relates back to Easter of 2013. So tell us what happened that season.
Okay. I was not looking for God. I never really prayed with the exception of asking God for stuff, right? Lord, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you help me keep this job? That type of stuff.
So you did pray. And you,
I did.
You were raised Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, but I mean, when I say raised, for those on the podcast who can't see me, I'm using air quotes. I was confirmed Catholic, but I didn't know anything. Brooke, I didn't even know Jesus was God. I just thought Jesus was God's son. Don't even ask me what the Holy Spirit is or the Holy Trinity.
Bible literacy, catechetical literacy is probably very bleak, unfortunately, and I don't think that your story is unusual, which is why there's such a push for a new revival, but it is relatable, everything you're saying.
Yeah, so, and I hated Mass, it was boring, I certainly didn't know that that was Jesus in the Eucharist. How I was confirmed, I have no idea, but let's go
just
going
with the flow, that was kind of the check the box.
It was what my parents did for all of us. Praise God. I'm so happy that they did initiate me into the church. But we never went to regular Mass. We weren't practicing. We didn't talk about Jesus or religion. As a matter of fact, we were Christers. We were those Christmas Easter churchgoers, and that was it, you know? And then when I moved out, I didn't go at all. 20 plus years, no church service, not even Christmas or Easter for like 20 plus years. So not looking for God, thinking I got it all going on, I've got this life. Then I get a phone call about my father going in for quadruple bypass surgery. And it was at that moment that I cried and got down on my knees and prayed for the first time for somebody other than myself. Mm. And from the heart, I mean, I was like, Lord, please, I can't lose my dad. So it was very emotional for me. I had maybe, I don't know, 8-9 hours until the next morning when he went in, and he came out with flying colors, and I was one of the 9 lepers that never went back and thanked him, you know? I would just went on with my life. As a matter of fact, he had no symptoms. He wasn't overweight or anything, but I was, and my husband and I were like packing on an extra 15 pounds. I was watching Dr. Oz, and I saw this this cleanse diet, so I talked him into it. And while I was in the book, there was a pie chart with all these little segments of your life. And one of those pieces of the pie said spirituality. And I said, holy cow, I've got nothing going on in that piece of the pie. Mm. Like, so I said, okay, I'm cleansing my soul or my body. I might as well cleanse my soul. I'll go back to church. Long story short, I decide that I'm going to go back to church. I didn't decide initially that I was going to go to the Catholic Church. There's a longer story about that that we can't get into today. But yeah, so I went all on my own, scared to death, Easter of 2013. It was a day.
So you say scared to death. Was it just the length of time you'd been outside of the church?
So the only time that I went to Mass was with my family, or with my first husband's family. I didn't know what to do. I just stood and knelt and did what I, you know, did what everybody else did. I've never followed along on the missal, had no idea what the purpose was. Mm-hmm. So to go by myself was quite scary, to a church that I've never been to before. It was great. I mean, with the exception of one of one part where I'm in the back row. Thank you, Lord, for having a seat in the back. And the priest goes up and says, you know, peace be with you. And I'm like, and also with you.
Oh, that, so things had changed.
Yeah, a little
bit. Was it with your spirit?
Yeah, of course. So everyone's not saying what I'm saying. And I'm mortified. I'm like, okay, I am not going to say a word. I didn't even pray that Our Father, which I knew. And that even changed, you know, with the with the part where your hands raised. And I'm like, what is going on? I felt really like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
But it was that announcement. Now, usually we're leaving after we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. My family's out the door to beat the traffic. Yeah. I didn't even know there were announcements at the end of Mass. So the announcements come. I'm still there by myself. And the priest announces Divine Mercy Sunday confession. I have no idea what Divine Mercy Sunday is, of course, but confession really hit me. It was almost as if everything around me kind of disappeared, and I sat for a moment and I thought about my mortality for the first time probably ever, with the exception of when my dad went in for surgery. Yeah. And I was like, wow, if I believe a half of a half of a half of a mustard seed of this Catholic faith, I am so going to hell, because I knew I had many mortal sins. And I even had mortal sins that I didn't know were mortal sins at the time.
Right. Well, because you become callous. It's been said throughout time, when you are in garbage long enough, you don't even smell it. You just don't see it. Our senses are dulled to it. And so it sounds like it was very acute pivot point then. So you knew you were called to go.
But I didn't make the decision that day. It wasn't until the next week. I walked out, I drove home. I was like, okay, I feel lighter. That wasn't so bad. I'll go next week. So I went at 7:30, and it was a beautiful day in Chicago. You know, living in Ohio, spring days and around Easter are fantastic. So my husband's like, let's go golf. I had a lot of stress going on in my job. My neck was killing me. And by the third hole, I couldn't do it anymore. I told my husband, I got to go home. My neck, just leaning over, trying to swing the club, was on fire. So I laid down in my bed with my two dogs next to me, just taking the relief off my neck, and a loud booming thought, not audibly, says, confession at 2 o'clock after Spanish Mass. And I was like, where in the world did that thought come from? Had no idea about the Holy Spirit, God speaking to me. And I rolled over, I looked at the time, and I said, hey, it's 1 o'clock. I can go. Maybe my neck will feel better after I'm done with this. So I ended up writing down my sins. I had no idea about the examination of conscience, but I wrote down on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I filled up both sides, girlfriend, both sides. And I don't write very big, with what I could think of. And that confession was a supernatural experience. I left completely changed. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing.
And it sounds like you never looked back. That was just the beginning.
It was the beginning, because I didn't want to change my life. All I knew was, when I got in the car after he was absolving me of my sins, I had this overwhelming waterfall of peace come over me. I actually kind of floated out of the back of my head a little bit, kind of saw it's ingrained in my mind and memory like a picture. Saw everything around me. I couldn't really feel my body, although I knew I was kneeling. It was almost like I was resting in the spirit on my knees. I ended up leaving. I floated out of there, really. I mean, of course, my feet were on the ground. I wasn't levitating, but I felt this peace and this joy. So I want to say to anyone who is contemplating listening to this, going to confession or avoiding confession, to please go. I go every week now. It's like, if I don't go every week, it's at least I have to go by 10 days. I don't let it go 2 weeks.
That's great.
Because I'm just so aware of my sinful ways and how much I need his grace. So here's the deal. I get in my car and I turn around. I'm crying. I'm beyond words. Like, I looked back at that church and I said, what was that? That must be what they call a sacrament, because I didn't know what a sacrament was. I was like, that is amazing. That was God in there, because I've taken every drug on the face of the earth. I could have taken them all at once and shot them down with some whiskey and never felt that peace, that joy, that love. And so the Holy Spirit was lit in me, and I had this thirst to figure out what this Catholic faith was all about, because honestly, I don't want to change. I don't really enjoy getting up and coming to Mass because I don't understand it. I don't have a personal prayer life or relationship with God. And he just took me, and the rest was history. Hours and hours and hours on the internet learning the faith.
That's what you pray for, a Paul on the way to Emmaus moment, or Moses, you know, these epic moments. But then, you know, that's where the work begins. The rest of our life, we're not just floating in these ecstasies, but that we have to understand there will be consolations and desolations. Can I call it the Pentecost in our lives? When that happened, and in the upper room, they received the Holy Spirit, but then they went out and they did the work. And you've talked about that, and you're very open. And you and Christine Watkins, you host a program. She's a great sister in Christ of mine as well, and we've had her on the show. But you talk about that very openly. I know you've shared you're struggling right now, even people who are very solid. This is a time that is testing us. Christine has talked about this, that so much of the structures that have always upheld us are beginning to fall down, and we need to be able to find peace, peace that comes from not exterior things that we rely on, but from within, from God. And you've shared that. You said, I'm struggling with gluttony right now. I'm struggling with different things. So coming back, putting the work in, how are you handling it now? What is your prayer life like? You just mentioned confession. What else helps you in times like this?
Oh, praise God. Confession has always been around me from the very beginning of COVID, even when the masses were not being offered. Some of our parishes were open, so you could sit in front of Jesus in the tabernacle in the church, and they had drive-up confession or, you know, distant confession. So praise God, I was able to continue down that path because I needed it. I felt the devil attacking me in ways that I was beyond, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So it happens at the tail end of Lent. My Lenten sacrifice was to eat one meal a day. And all of a sudden, I'm eating the house down. I'm struggling through my morning prayer, which I have, praise God, dove into mental Christian meditation every day. But in the end, I was struggling with that as well. And I was so tired. Actually, I got on my knees during this one. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And he put in my heart, you're not using the tools and the weapons that I gave you to fight the fight. And it occurred to me that I hadn't delivered any spirits around me this whole time. And I should have figured this one out. I know about the spiritual daily commitment and warfare that we're in. Satan is working overtime, especially in the beginning of this whole COVID nightmare. And so I was like, thank you. I began to deliver all of the spirits of sloth and gluttony and all of that stuff. And it was almost like it was a weight off my shoulders. They were gone. And so I want to just say to everyone, it's a daily commitment. That's my passion. So my mission's pretty basic, because I didn't know how to pray, right? It's just this one-way asking train for me. But realizing and researching that it is a relationship, and we are called to sacrifice and fast and dedicate that time. It's the first commandment, worship thy God, right? And love him with all your heart. So my mission is just to help others deepen their relationship with God and the Catholic faith. So on my daily podcast, it's 10 minutes. Get up together and put Jesus on and fight the fight, because it's a daily commitment. And I think people sometimes put prayer on the shelf, or they can't quiet their mind, so they give up. And it's not negotiable. We're called to be saints, and we must incorporate mental prayer in our daily prayer life. And that's not me talking about that. That's St. Alphonsus Liguori and St. Teresa of Avila. It's a necessary commitment. So in the beginning, again, prayer was a struggle. Everything was a struggle. I'm still struggling with, I gotta say, I love that you put this Facebook group together. It's about taking care of yourself. I see all these pictures of you running, and oh, I did 9 miles, and I'm like, girl, you go. I mean, you're an inspiration to me, because I haven't moved this body for months. Christine and I just met this past weekend for the first time in person. We were leading a retreat. It was so nice to get out there, Brooke, and see people. Yeah. It was amazing. My cup was totally full. But she and I were both complaining about how much weight we've put on, and that we haven't taken care of this temple for the Holy Spirit. And we need to focus on that a little bit more. So thank you for you for being an inspiration to others to move the body that we've been given.
The body is the operative word. We are all one body, and we are all connected. And where one person motivates and lifts up someone in one way, another, it might be you inspire me through prayer. She inspires me through fitness. She inspires me because she is an amazing chef and she makes healthy meals for her family. I don't know how she does it. You know, I think that's the beautiful thing. Positive right now, amidst all of the muck in social media, the positive is be willing to share your gifts. And it's hard to put yourself out there, because we're also in a time where people are triggered, and it is a struggle for each one of us. And yes, I may be running 9 miles, but I am fiercely fighting depression and the sadness like everyone else. And we're all carrying so much. I know for those that are in the Middle East, my friends that do pilgrimages, it's their only means of supporting their family. And it's been completely cut off. Also, though, recognizing, like you said, it is a struggle when you feel the heaviness of everything and all that we've taught and all that we know, it can be said in the name of Jesus or just a Hail Mary. But for some, you know, I was talking to my friend, she had just had a baby a few months ago. She has a full house. And she said, I just walk around the house like a zombie. And she said, I know that I need to pray more. I know I need to be going out. And that means I need to increase my rosaries, my devotions. But you touched on the weariness. And again, I think it's important when you say delivering those spirits, that it's also spiritual warfare too, that we're entering into.
Amen. Amen. So it's funny. Think about when you come out of a retreat or you've just read a spiritual book and you're like, yeah, I am so going to incorporate that in my life. I am ready to go. And I'm going to get up tomorrow.
We all talk such a good game, right?
I know.
We're like, we have the best plan.
But we're all ready, right? The spirit's lit in us. We're on fire. And then we say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get up at 4:30. And the alarm goes off and you're like, yeah, there's no way I'm getting out of this bed. And it's cold out there, or I'm too tired. I stayed up later, or I didn't sleep well. And this is Satan. He is doing everything he possibly can to put in our hearts and our minds excuses not to get closer to God. So at those moments where you've made that spiritual commitment and you're now starting to waver on it, or you don't think you can put it in your life, that's when you have to fight through it. Get up anyway, even though you don't want to, right? Get up, throw your slippers on if it's cold, put on a robe if it's cold, go get that coffee, start that prayer. Because if you don't, he wins. And you're not going to do it the next day. And you're not going to make this a habit in your life. And the more you pray, the more you calm your mind, the more you meditate. And I'm not talking secular meditation. I'm talking Christian meditation. Mm-hmm. And I always meditate on the word because it's living for me. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I mean, you truly get closer and closer to God. And then guess what? All of a sudden, you're talking to God all day. You're praising God all day. You're asking God for forgiveness. You're giving up little sacrifices to him. And then you're doing what St. Paul said, and you're praying incessantly all day. It's amazing how it all works together, but we just have to continue to do it. Just do it.
Christian Olympian Ryan Hall, I had a chance to have him on the show, and he has a book called Run the Mile You're In. And I love that idea. I keep going back to it because he says in a race, you have such a tremendous 26.2 miles of space to cover. And it's easy to get in your own head and to think about, this is overwhelming, I can't do it. Well, we could say that in our everyday waking up, our weeks, our days, our months, our years, or we could run the mile we're in right here and now, the minute we're in, the hour that we're in, what can I do hour by hour? Yeah, I didn't spend the best hour. Last hour, I was on too much social media and it wasted away. And I don't even know what I did today, but I can do something with this hour that I'm in right now. That's what Psalms tells us. Teach us to number our days so that we may grow in wisdom, and how a clock is like a tongue that talks to us and says, you are mortal, you are mortal. And it's not to guilt anyone into saying the sands of the hourglass are running out, but the sense of urgency, though, like you said, about not squandering, and I'm just going to pray, I'm going to say the name of Jesus, or I'm going to get my holy water out. Bless me, give me strength and grace for this next hour, because I'm struggling, Lord, and you know it, you see it all. And to offer that up, to offer that up for those who are struggling to breathe or struggling to walk or struggling with autism. You know, there's so many things that we can offer up. It was a wonderful time with you today to hear your story, to be edified by your honesty and the beautiful love affair that you've had with our Lord, with our Lady, with the church, and all that you do. Thank you so much.
Oh, Brooke, thank you. God bless you. It's wonderful to catch up with you and to hear your stories too. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. We have to keep in touch. So
for sure.
This is to be continued.
Sounds good. I'm here for you.
How can we find you online? I know you have a website. You're all over the place too. What's the best way to connect?
So I have a podcast. I have a video prayer program that's 40 days. I walk with you in a video, and I have a book, and I've got, you know, events and appearances. This will be up there as well. So just go to KendraVonEsch.com and everything you need is right there.
We'll do it.
Thank you again to my guest on today's show, Kendra Von Esch. And going back to the beginning of the program, you can see right in the beginning of our interview and her life story, that scattered life. And then she goes to the attentive life and just the transformation. And again, still continuing. And I cannot wait to have her on again. I can't wait for you to check out those daily videos. She does these podcasts that you can find on YouTube and also in their video form. But I love how she freely gives. That's part of her ministry through devotionals and reflections, and you can connect with her on social media as well. Some big shows coming up as we prepare for Advent. My friend Shibley Kendo is going to take us on a mystical field trip into Bethlehem where he lives. So what an awesome way to walk through Advent on our way to the Holy Family. Also, Father Frank Pavone, the founder of Priests for Life and incredibly tireless advocate for the pro-life cause and life issues in general. Cannot wait for you to hear those upcoming shows and much more. And finally, thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So for any production needs you may have, check him out at cominghomestudio.com. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.